The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, our special guest is Dr. Salvatore Pais. His name has sparked controversy, curiosity, and even fear. Some call him a genius, others a mad scientist, but the patents he has filed, patents that hint at the impossible, are very real. And they raise a terrifying question. What if the future isn't ahead of us, but hidden in plain sight? Energy fields that could manipulate space-time itself. Room temperature superconductors that could revolutionize how we harness energy. Propulsion systems that could make rockets obsolete. And yet, his ideas have been met with rejection, secrecy, and resistance. Why? What is being hidden? And what does he know that we don't? His work is wrapped in mystery, linked to the U.S. Navy, black budget programs, and a scientific community that refuses to acknowledge what could change the world forever. But Dr. Pais isn't just talking about physics. He has warned that humanity is standing at a crossroads, that a test is coming, and that unless we evolve, we may not survive what's next. Tonight, we step into the unknown. We challenge the limits of reality itself. Dr. Salvatore Pais is coming up next. Welcome to the Veritas Project. I'm your host, Mel Hostelrich. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with me, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. Your thoughts and ideas are always appreciated. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And from Maryland, very close to the belly of the beast, I would like to welcome Dr. Salvatore Pais. Hello, doctor. How are you? Welcome to Veritas.
Hi, Mel. How are you, sir? Please call me Sal.
Oh, thank you. I'm fine. Thank you, Sal. I always treat people with respect and deference, so I will call you Sal. But this is a great opportunity. I'm honored to have you here. I've been watching a lot of your interviews in the past few weeks, especially one with my friend Ashton Forbes, who, by the way, I consider him to be one of the most underrated researchers of our time. Would you agree?
Agreed, sir. 100%. He is one of the best independent journalists that we have out there, even though his daytime job, let's call it, is in the healthcare field, I believe, ever since he graduated college. And he's been there for over 20 years, I believe. But anyhow, he is worthy. His work on MH370, the physics of the orbs, again, he's known also as Forbes, and his last name. I love that.
Oh, that's right. I never connected that until you just said it.
That came from Dave Rossi, our podcast on Hard Truths, on Ashton Forbes Hard Truths podcast with Dave Rossi. Dave Rossi came to the realization, if indeed the craft, let's call it, was teleported, it would have needed a fourth orb to mark the destination, because in a black hole, if indeed every black hole has a white hole, hence it's truly a wormhole rather than just a singularity.
But to give context to those who are listening, we interviewed Ashton a few weeks ago, a few months ago.
And maybe give the disclaimer.
Exactly.
Okay, I come to this interview as a private citizen. My statements, my opinions are my own. They have nothing to do with the United States Navy nor the United States Space Force. They're totally my statements. And I apologize to any member of the government if I say anything that is inappropriate. Again, I do so as a private citizen under the Bill of Rights. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
And I'm glad you're saying that, because before we started, I had to ask you, because you still work for the government, and there are certain things that you cannot discuss. You have a security clearance that you want to keep, and I totally understand it. But what you were saying about the four orbs, I saw one of the interviews with you, and I saw that he had this, you know, this sign behind him that said, because I know his last name is Forbes, but four orbs. And then I'm like, why is that? And now you just said it. And I thought of,
yes,
for those who don't know, MH370, Malaysia Airlines, that disappeared and allegedly crashed. But Ashton has been doing a lot of work and these four orbs. Can you tell us what you found from his research, and have you expounded on it?
First of all, let me give a little window into the physics. Again, I operate on what's called the E-cubed principle. I'm not here to in any way illuminate or enlighten the enemy in any way, shape, or form. So I'm not here to enlighten or educate the enemy, E-cubed. However, I must say that Ashton Forbes has picked up on a very important paper that's out there that I've published in 2019 called The Plasma Compression Fusion Device. It's in the IEEE Journal, Transactions on Plasma Science, one of the premier journals in plasma physics, internationally known. It was quite a feat to be able to publish there. It took two independent peer reviews to finally get the paper accepted. Again, I am not an electrical engineer, nor am I a physicist by education. So you can imagine the editorial board, how they took that paper, but they couldn't find absolutely anything wrong. As a matter of fact, if you look closely at equations 7, 8, and 9 in that paper, they're very important. They speak toward the physics of energy amplification. It is extremely important that one person, no other physicist, no one that has a PhD in physics, in plasma dynamics, magnetohydrodynamics, nobody noticed it except Ashton Forbes, who not only picked up on the physics of that paper, but also realized that there were multiple, not just one, not two, multiple, several Chinese, highly placed Chinese research teams that have been citing my paper. One of them is even cited by the Institute of Cybernetics. So it was published in IEEE Institute of Cybernetics, that particular paper that cites my work. But anyhow, in that paper, I talk about the possibility of obtaining extreme energy densities on the order of 10 to the 33 watts per meter square. That's not an energy density per se. An energy density commensurate to that would be 10 to the 25 joules per meter cubed. But that is enough. Again, 10 to the 25 joules per meter cubed. That's one followed by 25 zeros joules per meter cube necessary to break the Schwinger limit. In physics, this would mean actually ripping apart the very fabric, the quantum fabric of our so-called fundamental reality. And this is exactly what you see in that video. You see the orbs revolving, three of them, revolving around the craft, depositing energy, extremely high energy, and then pulsating within. It is amazing. If those videos are not, they describe a physics that basically breaks the Schwinger limit. I told Ashton that the moment I saw the video, I had no idea who Ashton was or even the existence of those videos. I just happened one time to actually look at this YouTube, it must have been three and a half minute video, and I saw these orbs revolving. I said, oh my goodness, I knew exactly what will happen next. And when that black hole occurred, I said,
incredible stuff. But before we go on, and I did a lot of research about PCFD.
Yes,
but for those who might not know who you are, let me just ask you a couple of questions before.
Sure.
Most people know you for your patents and the speculation surrounding your work, the few know the man behind the ideas. Let's start there. Who is Dr. Salvatore Pais, Sal? What drives your research?
I've always wanted to benefit mankind. I've the one thing that's always been, and you can call this hubris, but I wanted to leave something behind. I didn't want to just one day disappear, even though the soul itself, I believe this energy that's encased within the body never truly dies. It can't. It's energy conservation. Again, great law of physics. I just wanted to leave something behind. And it all started with a paper called Conditional Possibility of Spacecraft Propulsion at Superluminal Speeds. It took me almost 4 years to publish it. And finally, I was able to publish it in a very hardly known journal at the time. Now it's become a lot more fashionable and people publishing it a lot more. International Journal of Space Science and Engineering. But this particular paper introduced the idea that it may be possible to not violate special relativity, to enhance, to basically take it a step further and achieve superluminal propulsion of an actual craft, not by in any way nullifying special relativity, but enhancing it, adding to it. It took 4 years to convince the editors that all the mathematics were correct and this paper should be published. I've always experienced this. So at one point in time, I said, let me try a different route of putting my work out there. And I tried the patent route. And I tell you, this was not easy at all. If people understand the NAVAIR Invention Evaluation Board protocols, the process by which a patent application is put in and finally accepted to either be a patent or actually published by United States Trademarks and Patent Office, this is quite an involved process. And these are some of the best that the Navy has that looked over these ideas, couldn't find anything wrong with the physics nor the math. And even though it spoke like science fiction, they realized that possibly today's science fiction could become tomorrow's science fact. And I thank them for their visionary ways, for their ability to understand extremely complex subjects. I was able to explain them in a very simplistic manner. I went to the dry board, and for 50 minutes, that's all they give you. They give you less than 20 minutes to put your idea forward, and that determines whether a patent application goes forward or not. Every one of them, five of them, went through the Invention Evaluation Board. All five passed. So that should tell you, I'm not exactly what they call a charlatan, a pseudoscientist, a crackpot. I am not a source of quantum mumbo jumbo or physics word salad. I really know my crap.
I remember, I don't know if you remember who Dr. Paul LaViolette was. Do you know who he was?
Yes, sir. Subquantum dynamics?
Exactly. Yeah. Electrogravitics. Yes. So yes. I remember one of our conversations. And by the way, our first interview, we got disconnected 27 times. And we kept going forward because they thought that we were doing a live show, but we kept saying, I hope whoever's listening is learning something. But he did tell me that for the first time I heard about, electrifying the wings of commercial aircraft. And he approached a few CEOs of commercial airlines and I said, hey, I have this and I'm in the process of creating a patent and it can save 50% of your fuel because that's the biggest expense, the airlines have. And they said, no, thank you. And that he found that interesting. And they rejected the patents because it went against national security. And he told me this happens all the time. Your opinion of this?
what he was doing is very interesting because in, again, the generation of plasma is key all this physics. Why? Because plasma represents the fourth state of matter. And by that, it acts as a transition stage to what we know, or what some people know as quintessence, the fifth essence, namely the quantum vacuum. One person that has realized this is Ashton Forbes. Now, how can a person who does not have a pedigree in physics, let alone plasma physics, which is one of the most difficult physics because it combines both classical and quantum physics. How can a person of this nature, not of his pedigree, realize this? And actual PhDs that have even achieved the greatness of having Nobel Prizes didn't. I ask you, it has to do with instincts. See, sir, there's something called what I understand is intuitive science and technology. Very few have that capability. I believe it's an instinct that it's a natural instinct. I believe Ashton has it. He was actually born with it. So.
Well, your background includes work with NASA, the U.S. Navy,
yes,
and major defense contractors. At what point did your research start pushing the boundaries of conventional physics? Was there a single moment that changed everything?
The publication of the paper, Conditional Possibilities of Spacecraft Propulsion at Superluminal Speeds. Again, there are no physical impossibilities. Everything is conditionally possible. Under certain conditions, everything and anything is feasible. The idea is to find those conditions. That is not an easy feat, but I do not believe in impossibilities. Never will, never shall. Forget about the box. They tell you to think outside the box. How about do away with the box?
Throw
away with a closed. Yes, throw it away. Just like do away with a closed system. We use that for our mathematics. The truth of the matter is everything is an open system, open to the environment, everything around us, going all the way to the margins of the universe and beyond, if indeed a multiverse exists. However, I must say, there is one equation, sir, and please, I hope that your subscribers, your followers, look into this. Look at equation one of my Superforce paper titled Superforce, all capital letters, the force of unification. It's on OSF. It's on a preprint server called OSF. So again, it's not the first paper that was published on it, Superforce, the possibility of the existence of a superforce. It's the second one, Superforce, all capital letters, the force of unification. Equation one is incredibly important, in my opinion. It basically says the superforce, which its formula is very simple, C, the speed of light, to the fourth power divided by big G, Newton's constant, otherwise known as the universal gravitational constant. So C to the fourth divided by big G. It's on the order of 10 to the 44 Newtons. So again, one followed by 44 zero Newtons equals the energy density at the Planck scale equal the energy density at the cosmic scale. Which means it actually acts, the superforce acts as a bridge between our quantum reality, the world of the very small, and our so-called classical reality, the world of the very large. What's explained by Einstein's gravitational field equations, otherwise known as general relativity. But what that equation says is, what if the whole idea is, again, I'm an engineer, I'm not a physicist by trade, so to me, it occurred, what if it doesn't just apply between the Planck scale and the cosmic scale, but everything in between. So I chose for the energy gradient, which it's a very simple formula. It's mc squared divided by L, where M and L are characteristic of that particular scale, be it Planck, a particle such as the proton or the universe itself.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.